Hey, it's Coach Sarah, and welcome to Range of Change, the podcast where we dive into the pivotal moments of transformation that shape our lives. If you're looking for inspiration, insights, and real talk about navigating change, big or small, you found the right place. I'm an ICF-certified coach and a seasoned change manager with 2 decades of experience helping people and organizations thrive through life's hairy moments. Whether you're choosing to make a bold leap into a new chapter of your life, or life is choosing it for you, this community will explore how to not just survive, but thrive through change. Think of this podcast as your guide to becoming more resilient, more empowered, and ready to take on your next big change with confidence.
Thank you again for joining us. So excited to have you on the podcast. I start every podcast by asking the same sort of level setting question, because I'm curious in general how people feel about change. So my question for you is, are you someone who likes surprises?
Ooh, that's a wonderful question to get started. And thank you for having me, Sarah. I don't think I typically like surprises. I'm somebody who prefers to actually think a few steps ahead if possible and do what I can to mitigate anything that's negative, or just try to really see into the future. Who doesn't love a good surprise, right? Right. So I'm hoping for that too. Yeah.
I mean, I think there are people that even don't like good surprises. Like, you know, I should probably frame the question a little differently. Like, you just open the door and it's a surprise birthday present, a surprise birthday party. Are you thrilled? Are you terrified? Are you?
No, I think with a positive one, of course, that's always welcomed, or I welcome that. I will say that I think it's more powerful for me if there's been a lot of thought in that. Mm. So I think that's the caveat that maybe some people just appreciate is really the depth of detail, or you know, how much planning and preparation went into it, rather than something a little not as, you know, in depth. So it'll depend on everyone. But generally, I don't mind a positive surprise. But I prefer to think ahead if I can.
It's interesting because I know you as someone who is very analytical. And I think that that is a nice segue into our topic today, as we're talking about one of the pivotal moments of change in your life, which was a big decision that you made around your education. So I'm going to turn it over to you to sort of tell your story in your own words.
Sure, sure thing. So yes, in fact, I think it's really interesting that you mentioned it's surprising, because it makes me wonder where was the surprise in the story, right? So I think coming off of a career and lots of time in hospitality, I sort of had my mind set on, you know, a business perspective and completing education in that direction, you know, following the business path. So I was doing all the research and doing all the things to look into that. And that was just like the North Star at the moment. And then when I had a specific conversation with someone, and they suggested and they introduced me to another thought about it, which was everybody else is doing it. And it surprised me that I sort of took a pause, took a step back and thought, oh no, I don't want to be doing exactly what everyone else is doing, which is a lot of how I've operated generally looking back. So it gave me the confidence, and it was the push to think, okay, what else is out there? What else is there that I can tap into, that I can explore, that's something I'm already passionate about? And then it allowed me to sort of restart my search from that position. So this was a pretty pivotal, you know, change, because I literally had gone to visit some business schools and started, you know, looking at different parts of the program. And so having that stop me in my tracks made me think, okay, I have permission to go outside of what I had in mind this whole time, and also giving me permission to look within and think about where can I explore the thing that's really burning inside that I'm curious about. So that's kind of what put me into a whole new world. But still, you know, funny enough, I still get to play in the business space a little bit, but in a way that is more comfortable, that's more natural than probably what would have may have been the case if I stayed on the original path.
Fascinating. So you knew that you were going to graduate school, and was an MBA business school, that was just sort of your default, or had you had sort of visions of yourself in the business world?
Well, that's the thing. It kind of felt like the natural next step. Mm-hmm. It was sort of a default thing. My bachelor's was in international business. So clearly follow the business road, you know, yellow brick road. And it was just something that I took for granted, just thinking that that would be the next step. And ultimately, even the master's I did pursue was still under a school of business, but it was just a different, you know, different track. So it was kind of refreshing to let go of that idea. That was that moment, that conversation was very, very key to releasing what I had thought was always the case, or would always be the case. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So you had this conversation that sort of opened your eyes, which I completely get, but you almost described it as a relief. Like what felt like a pressure there?
Oh, that's such a great question. So I think that it was a matter of, there are several levels of expectations from culture, from generally my, you know, background. As I said, it would have been a seamless thing coming from operations and management and hospitality, having the background I already had. It was just sort of seemed like the next step. But I think the pressure, maybe the underlying pressure I didn't realize I had, was meeting up to it and executing it to the same level as others. So it wasn't just go to business school. It was, what's the best business school, or I have to go to the best business school I can get to in order to maximize this. It was, how do I make it worthwhile? So there was more of that pressure of picking the right program or school to really get me to the max, where there was no opportunity to really think about what was enjoyable for me, what was my passion. It wasn't about that. It was like, just get the work together, or be in, you know, put yourself in this space. And part of it was also, I'm not sure the way to phrase it, you know, as far as like accolades, but it was also searching a little bit for that, like accolades of, oh, I have an MBA to say that. But I think shifting from that allowed me to remove the importance of that accolade, of that specific title. And yes, if I hadn't released that, I probably wouldn't have found value in what I did end up pursuing. I probably would have still been limited to thinking, oh, it's not as good as, or it's different. But yeah, that was a great question.
I feel like I'm like looking back in time, because like I know you through the straight line of where you did end up and what you did end up studying, and I know you as a people person, and you know, so I also know that you worked in hospitality and the international business, so I can see how there was like this almost like sliding doors moment where like in the one side you go into the business world, which, you know, can be very cutthroat, and it's not a place where I see you having known the other side of you, but I definitely get how both of those sort of fall under that umbrella of your past, your education and your experience. Yeah. So after that conversation, how did you end up in the degree that you ended up pursuing?
Right. So I think a part of this story is also includes physical, like actual geography, right? So I literally was in the Midwest when I was looking and exploring the MBA programs. I had gone to visit some schools there. And when I had come back to Texas, I had that conversation. So it now, I couldn't speak to the exact next days, but it now let me literally sort of like close the books on the things I was studying to take an exam. And I closed those things away and I put them aside. And I believe there was probably a bit of a gap in time, some like a couple of years, where I was still in the industry, as part of industry. But once I left that, I was like, oh, that's my opportunity to have the time to look into my next educational path. Which was a breath of fresh air, because had I let the pressures of that go, of preparing and studying for that, you know, I was like, well, there's no, that's not the way I'm going. There was no need to retain that information. Let's move on. And so when I was looking into the program, I did end up following. It was exciting. It felt aligned. It was also, funny enough, I feel like it was a way to tie in my experience I already had to the next stage. And that's part of where I was like, okay, I think it's important for me looking back. Looking back, I think things have generally had certain ties connecting everything. Or uh-huh. like a red line connecting. So I think because I saw that connection, it allowed me to like move forward or release the thought of following a continuing MBA program. If I didn't have that connection between what I, my own work experience and what I could study, I think I would still be looking for that. Like it wouldn't have been, it may not have been where I landed. It may not have been what I pursued or be curious, or been curious about.
It's wild how that happens.
Yeah, definitely. I would never have thought. I would never have thought. I would not have guessed. Yes. Well, I take that back, actually. Because part of that thread, or maybe part of the confirmation to pursue this different path, I think I recall how I started exploring it was looking into organizational psychology. I said that was sort of an intro to the new, what I was exploring and looking into. And I recalled that one of my interests for undergrad was actually psychology.
Okay.
But I was discouraged from that because of the possible earning potential and career potential, et cetera. So I think going back to that, so ultimately, maybe all those still led to Rome. And going back to that allowed me to sort of connect a little bit back to my very original interest. And so I think maybe it's, I don't know whether we call it fate or whether it's just what was meant to happen that I came back to the original thing. So I think it's really, really key. I think one big lesson I've learned is to go back to the genuine things that you're very interested in, the core of that, and find that thing, that area of expertise, et cetera, and do something within that stage to move it and see where it can lead you.
That is such great advice. And it's something that I think, you know, young people, I think for a long time there was that follow your passion. And so people got themselves into careers that maybe didn't support the lifestyle they wanted. And then we took like a hard turn in the other direction. All the advice was go into tech, do something lucrative. Mm-hmm. But my experience is similar to yours, where I had passions that everyone told me are not going to pay the bills. And in roundabout ways, I found a career where most of my job is telling stories, writing, documenting, presenting slides. Like my English major background really did prepare me for that, even though people would tell you, you know, don't be an English major. And I think it's interesting that, you know, psychology really interested you intrinsically. It was where your motivation was, and you found yourself back there in an organizational setting.
Yes, absolutely. It's very, very interesting. And I think that what might be missing for a lot of young people, just as you said, is people who are more experienced really being clear about how the path might look different and how everything can absolutely be leveraged in some way or form. It just may not look and feel how you have experienced it right now. So how you experience psychology as a young person is hard to think about what that can translate into. But it really comes down to any mentors, any leaders, et cetera, to really express that or to recognize that your ideas or concept around this passion you have is limited, but there are ways to expand that. There are ways for it to evolve. There's value in that thing that you is burning within you that you can apply elsewhere, literally in every piece of business. And so that is exactly that's part of the thing that was pulling me into changing into this new educational path, because I realized that even that sort of spark and developing that spark was missing. That's what put me on the path for leadership development, and you know, just understanding that people need that, those things to pull, be pulled out of them. So yeah, that was. So you made me great. I hope you make a great connection there.
Well, you're actually, I'm making connections with everything you're saying too, because I love that you mentioned that, you know, the path might not be direct. And I think a lot of young people are terrified by that idea that, you know, especially folks that are trying to do all the right things, so to speak, and, you know, that like it or not, the path is not always straight. You can try to follow a straight line and the world can throw you a curveball. But sometimes those are the greatest opportunities. But, you know, when you, like you said, like finding that spark is so important, because your working career is so much longer than I think you can possibly wrap your head around when you're in college.
Absolutely. I think, you know, as adults, we take for granted that there's the very structured life experience of the young person.
Yes.
Education, right? And the expectation is shared among most people. Most people understand what that first 18 years should look like, or 16, depending on where you are in the world, right? But afterwards is what makes it so much difficult to express and for others to get a glimpse into. So it's really interesting the different opportunities that can come up, but we often lack from not having, I wouldn't say the similar structure, but the similar sort of, well, I guess it is a similar structure as we move into the adult phase, as we get into different careers, as you make your changes, because there's not that shared experience of progression, it makes it, yeah. You know, you end up, for the most part, we end up having very similar experiences as people. And then we kind of reconvene at certain ages within a certain age group and look back and think, oh, that was the same thing. It's just not, you know, under someone else's, I wouldn't just say leadership, their direction, right? It's under your own direction and free will and decisions and choices and all those things.
Yeah, and dumb luck sometimes, you know.
And dumb luck, exactly, yeah. Happenstance and things like that, yeah.
It's so insightful. I hadn't really thought about what a stark contrast it is with our very structured youth. Mm-hmm. And then you're right. You become an adult and it's like, well, do what you want.
You're set loose. Yes. You're let loose into the world. And it's so interesting because there's even in that experience, there's sort of some conflicting thoughts, right? Because you're asked and being told to grow, but all you have are the tools from being a young adult, a young person.
Yeah.
And then the tools that are given for adults, I mean, it's not, they're evolving some at this point in this day and age. Careers don't look the same. Technology has changed everything. Proximity has changed everything. So yeah, we don't always have that that toolbox to start with, which it essentially puts us in that surprise state, like we started talking about. You walk into, you know, the world as a young adult and you're surprised by what you experience. Yeah.
But I do love that the toolbox is evolving, because like we met in a master's program. It's my second master's degree. Like I went back to explore something that is now that I know exists. I didn't know it was a thing when I was younger and really interests me. And, you know, so it's not like it's one and done. Like, for so many of us, if you're willing to seize the opportunities, do the extra work, it's nights, it's weekends, it's brutal at times, but those tools exist and you can sort of, you know, carve a new little turn in your path if you're so inspired.
Yes, exactly. It's really incredible how much is available out there. And I get excited because especially by getting in contact with a young person, I start to think, oh, the possibilities really are endless. And it makes me believe all the things that they were told before, that you can do anything, which is, it's true. It's just like, they need a caveat. You can do anything, but just in certain ways. But I think I'm really excited at the current time that we're in, just being able to leverage so much more and harness a lot more of our skills, and even have access to more things to add to your toolbox. Even I think, as you know, as coaches, just making people aware that you have a toolbox,
yes,
alone is so powerful. And then here's your toolbox, here's how you build it. Now go forth and, you know, build a, you know, table or something, whatever that might be. I think that's a really exciting time that we're in, that there's an opportunity to really inspire and charge up people to just harness that, their own curiosity, but harness their own change. Ultimately, is what we're speaking about, right? Like, not to leave it to in the hands of the people that's guided us as we've been younger, or, you know, we have more confidence in being able to create change.
Yeah, and I think that in the career space, in the workplace, I think career space is better. You know, that is just been blown wide open in recent years, where it used to be fairly directive. You got one job and you worked your way through promotions until they gave you a gold watch, and that mm-hmm. was that. And now, mm-hmm. you know, people change careers, they change employers, they get side hustles, they, like, you know, it's just endless opportunity to explore the things that really speak to you. I think that's the key. I mean, certainly it's, you can just say it's opportunity to jump around and make a few extra bucks here and there, but I think the more optimistic view is that it is wide open opportunity to figure out what ignites your passion and then follow it in whatever variation that looks like. Psychology, if it's interesting to you, there's about 500 different ways that you can pursue some thread of that.
And even just like, even recognizing that you're curious allows you to understand that there is a difference between the curiosity that is for feeding yourself, and then there's a curiosity that's meant to be transformed into something, an output. So I think that there's even being aware of that piece is very important, knowing that, okay, maybe I have this passion and interest, but this is actually for me alone. And I have this personal interest and skill, and this is what I can share with the world. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the concept of Ikigai, which is it's a Japanese concept of aligning your purpose and your mission for your skills, abilities for yourself and for the world. So essentially, it is asking you what can you do within the skills that you already have that is going to give you the fulfillment in all of these ways all at once. So this conversation makes me think about that in terms of a toolbox. Like, you build your toolbox so that you can think about how you reach your ikigai, where you're fulfilling your own purpose and yourself, as well as giving to the world as well. So that when you're inspired by something, you can have that skill that you're interested in for yourself, for others, and constantly develop that. So I think I've gone a bit off track of where we started, but
no, I love that. And you know, I have not been to Japan, but I understand that it's just more of a community-oriented culture, where we're a very individualistic culture in America. Mm-hmm. And I love that idea of thinking of, like, you know, what is good and fulfilling for me, and also at the same time, like, laying that right over what I give back to the world. Like, yes. I really feel like that is an element that we need more of in our U.S. culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that most recently for myself in the past few years, I've put that on my vision boards. I've tried to really think about that. And I think it's a very helpful sort of framework or thought process for, like, one's personal North Star. Because if you, for instance, take the young adults and you're aware, a young adult is aware of their passions and interests for the most part, then you go through some time in your early career, start to discover your skills, etc. There's a point that you may come that you don't know what to do with them. You don't know how to be fulfilled. You don't know how to find that mix or balance. So that's one concept that helped me just realize, okay, this makes sense. They've thought about the fact that you have these abilities and skills that vary. They may look starkly different, but how do you bring that together to fulfill your own life and your own purpose, right? How do you not feel like, oh, I have a waste. I only like this one thing, and I don't like the idea of working in 9 to 5, for example, or I don't want to be in a position. Like, no, there's a way to create harmony with all of those things, essentially putting them all together from what you've learned as a young adult into your career. And even that, and of course, in that whole process, you have, you know, moments of change, right? It's you've changed how you think about yourself and your passions, because when you're a young adult, that's probably all you're interested in. But then you have to make a shift into the adult world, adulthood and the career. And even after that, when you master certain skills, you have to make that other shift and change into, okay, what's next? How do you evolve from there? So I feel like that's, for me, the sort of point I've landed is really focusing on how am I shifting into this space where there's harmony within the work I do, the skills, what I'm passionate about. So how am I bringing in that psychology from back, way back when, almost about 20 years ago into now? How am I applying and shifting what I've learned from hospitality management into now? And, you know, as we know the pretty popular quote that change is constant. So, but not every change might be pivotal, right? But it's a matter of being thinking ahead like I like to do.
Yes, and
not
do.
And not be set up for surprises if possible.
Yeah. I love harmony as sort of the end goal and accepting that we're constantly changing. And if you have like that layered existence where you are not just a worker, not just a human, not just a part of a community, like you're all these things at once. And if any one of them starts to grow and change and shift, then everything, if you're going to stay in harmony, has to make those tweaks. It's very beautiful. Like I'm picturing a dance or a song, or I mean, there's something like really spiritual and lovely about that.
Yes. I mean, I think that part of my change has been in my mindset, right? Looking at things very statically. Just like you asked, if I was really open to change or surprises. You know, part of I recognize that looking at it has been in the past very, you know, static, systematic, structure, that kind of thing. But ultimately what I seek now is that harmony, a bit of fluidity, is creating a space that maybe those things are innate in the way I show up and the way I do things, but not having too strict of boundaries and restrictions around it, right? Sort of allowing it to be a little bit fluid and lead me where you never know where it might, I never know where it might go. Take me, right? So lead me where I can not only land, but also, again, get the fulfillment, but then also give back to the community. And the community doesn't mean literally the whole community immediately around you. It can just be the next person that you work with. It could be the next person beside you that you constantly coach with. It could be the next person that you've met at, you know, a networking event or something like that. So I think that there's a lot of benefit. There's a strong impact or shifts that can happen looking at it from that perspective of harmony, you know, not just limiting it to one way that you show up and you do, you know, one way to experience change.
Yeah. And I feel like that's like a confidence and just a maturity that comes as you have more life experiences. You can, because all that structure and rigidity is really intended to be a security blanket. And as you get older and realize you don't need it and that's not how security works, you know.
Yeah, that's very true. That's so true. That's a really great point there. You know, there really is a security. And then what happens? Now I'm curious, you know, in life, generally speaking, do we build new blankets? Do we just have like a shawl, something smaller? Like, or does that evolve to a different time? You know, maybe this is 1.0 and then you evolve a 2.0 version for your adulthood or something.
Right. Well, I think it's that community. It's that network that you build when you are giving of yourself. And it takes vulnerability. It's a harder blanket to build, but it's a stronger one when you're linking arms, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
All right. So last question, as you're sort of reflecting back on this pivotal moment of change when you thought you were headed in one educational and ultimately career direction, had a conversation, opened your eyes, explored things. if you were to encounter someone who was at the same crossroads, they thought they were, they always thought they were moving in one direction, and now they've had an aha, like, I don't have to move in that direction. What would be your advice to them on how to navigate the next steps?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question and very important, as you know, in the coaching space, right? I think the question I would ask them about navigating through this newly revealed, this new revelation, would be to do, or I would ask them how they would take on some self-reflection. I would ask them how they would look back and recount where that shift could go, what has inspired them in the past to allow them to make that shift. I would ask them some of the questions that you asked me. How do they feel when they had that release? When they had that aha moment, what really came up? I'd be curious to know what comes up that had lived there before. And then I think from there, then that might be sufficient, maybe, depending on the person, to kickstart, you know, something, some curiosity, to kickstart some more exploration, to see if they can find, to discover what they can, how they can feel, if they're fulfilled, or even if it's just a question that they can have answered. Sometimes that's part of it, is the aha is, okay, now what? Or how does this thing happen? And just explore that curiosity. So that's I would try to approach it that way, but that was a great question for you.
Well, yeah, you're such a consummate coach that of course you're going to lead in with questions.
Oh my God, that's a question with a question.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, this has been a fantastic conversation. I've really enjoyed it. I feel like you've opened my eyes to several things. I'm going to, how do you say the
Ikigai? Yes. Ikigai.
Ikigai. I've got some research to do.
Yeah. Definitely check it out. I'd love to know what you think.
I will. Thank you so much for spending the time with me today, Mary.
Yes. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me. And this has been a wonderful conversation.